Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to our Sunday morning Facebook Live Calvary Baptist Church service. And I want to say that it's been a wonderful week this past week concerning the circumstances, as we all know it, and I'm sure have grown accustomed to our pandemic and our world concerning the current situation of our day in, day out grind of the virus and all. Of course, that's nothing new. We all are grown accustomed to it. We won't say much about that this morning. We will say this, though, concerning the governor's new announcements and all, that he has reopened some things. And I do want to say that we had mentioned to our people here at Calvary on a Facebook post the other day that although he has said that he is allowing and announcing for the in-person worship, but he does suggest for the online and drive-in services to continue, that we here at Calvary are continuing to do the online. We feel the best way to do it until there's a significant decrease of the coronavirus cases, to continue the online services via Facebook. We care for our people. We just want what's best for everybody. And we've come too far to lose any ground in this matter. And so there's no rush. And really, besides the fact, we've been getting a lot of views, and we appreciate you for tuning in. I just wanted to say that, just in case nobody or somebody hasn't gotten an update concerning our services here at Calvary as of late. We are going to continue our services, our worship services, via Facebook, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and, of course, from our home on Wednesday until further notice. And so we appreciate you tuning in faithfully each and every week. We praise the Lord for you. And again, welcome Sunday morning here at our live service at Calvary Baptist Church. We have something special this morning, and we have some special singing in just a few moments. And, you know, we've, to the best of our ability, we've been faithful to preach God's word during this time. It's been a very unique time, you know, delivering God's word through this avenue of live media. You know, it's just very different. In fact, I was speaking to a dear brother of mine just a moment ago of how different it is. We're so used to speaking in our church with our church folks looking at us, and now it's through a camera. And we're having to make facial expressions and different things along those lines. But it's different. But, you know, it's opportunity as well. And in saying that, this morning we have something different. We wanted to have some special singing this morning. And so in just a few moments, we invited some of our people to come back, and some of our ladies, and they're going to come around in just a few moments and sing a couple songs for us. You know, God's people, they want to come back to church, and we understand that. I have the privilege of coming and ministering and preaching and teaching and hopefully being an encouragement to you. But we also understand that there's lots of others of God's people that want to be a blessing and use their spiritual gifts. And so we're kind of in a strait betwixt two, as Paul says, because others want to be a blessing and be a help during this time. And so we definitely want to use as many people as we can and be safe at the same time, you know, and use the safety measures that are in place as far as this coronavirus. But nonetheless, God's in control, and he ultimately is going to cure this thing. And so this morning, we are using safety measures, and we're going to be spaced out, but at the same time, we're going to worship the Lord And the ladies are going to come around in just a few moments. But before they do, I want to bring to your attention just a few prayer requests and one or two praises, and then we're going to pray. I failed to mention last week, Miss Jenny Clanton's twin brother, Jesse, and that is Jesse Caudle, C-A-U-D-L-E, I believe it is, Jesse Caudle. He's going to have surgery, kidney surgery, on May the 5th. And so Miss Jenny is very concerned about her brother. She specifically said her twin brother. And so let's be mindful of Miss Jenny Clinton's twin brother, Jesse, in his kidney surgery. I do want to say that Miss Carrie Bennett, she had kidney surgery. I believe it was kidney surgery. And she's at home from the hospital, and she's in recovery, and she did well. And so, Miss Carrie, if you're watching, Brother Larry, family, we praise the Lord that God has touched you and you're at home recovering. Also, got word from Brother Jeff and Sharon Hodges. Their son-in-law, Chris, received his lung biopsy, and it was benign, so we praise the Lord for that. But they're on the flip side of that, he still has cancer in his esophagus. The tumor shrunk and did not show up on the last PET scan, so Chris is having surgery next week. So let's remember their son-in-law, Chris. That's Jeff and Sharon Hodges' son-in-law, Chris. Mary Kelly's granddaughter, we've mentioned her the past couple of weeks, but this is definitely a heavy burden upon Miss Mary Kelly. Her granddaughter, Amanda, has leukemia, and it seems as though her body is suffering from this leukemia, and some things are surfacing. But we're praying that God will touch her and throw this thing in remission. So she's down in Florida, her granddaughter and family. Let's pray for her continually. Miss Shirley Townsend is going soon to the doctor for her cancer in her lung. Miss C.C. Pressridge is going for medical results soon in May. Miss Betty Berry, let's continue to remember her. Cassie Karanovich, Randy Ely's mother, which is in has dementia. Diane Ely's brother has cancer. Let's remember all of our shut-ins. Our prayer list is growing. There's several that I did not mention, but that does not mean that you're not on our heart. But for the sake of time, it just escapes my thoughts right now. But we love you, and we're praying for you. I do want to encourage the church to log on to our Calvary Ministries website, onto our online bulletin, where all of the prayer requests are there. And let's just lift up one another in prayer. And not only our church and our people, but all of our churches, the body of Christ, churches worldwide, let's remember one another. Let's pray for one another. We're going through a time where the church of God is scattered abroad, and we're not meeting together. Churches are empty. And the Bible talks about that. In the book of James, chapter number 1, James actually starts off the book greeting the church of God, the 12 tribes of Israel, which are scattered. And he encourages them concerning the different various trials. And he tells them to be joyful, that God is up to something. And so while everything is taking place in our world today, the current pandemic, the ups, the downs, the ins, the outs, everything, as you can imagine, the media, what you can trust, what you can't trust, just know this, church, God is up to something. We can't trust everything that comes through the television, but we can trust our God. Those of us that know him as Savior, we know this. Romans 8:28, And we know that all things work together for the good to those that know the Lord, for those who are the called according to his purpose. And what that means is, if you're saved, he has called you for a purpose. And that means he's at work in your life. And so, regardless, we can joy. Doesn't mean we got to be happy over everything that's going on, but we can joy knowing that God is at work in our life and in our world. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer this morning, and we hope and pray that you'll be blessed of our singing this morning and our singers. Heavenly Father, we come in the sweet name of Jesus this morning, and we're so very thankful, Lord, that we have this avenue of media, Lord. I cannot begin to imagine just 10, 15, maybe 20 years ago, Lord, what we would be doing if we had this pandemic and God and we couldn't congregate together. And Lord, there'd be no internet like it is today. What would we be doing? The chaos and Lord, the anxiety and the fear then. But God, you've made provision. It may not be the pick of the litter and it may not be what we would particularly want, but it's just enough to take the edge off. It's just enough, Lord, that we can be able to minister, Lord, to reach others. And it's just enough, Lord, to get through. And Father, for that, we're thankful. And Lord, today we pray that you would bless our nation, Lord. Bless our president. Lord, bless, I pray, our state. Bless our governor, Governor Kemp. Lord, no doubt he's going to catch it on every angle. Lord, he's catching it now for his decision of reopening things. But God, we pray for him. And Lord, we pray for our officials, Lord. Thank you for those who are the first responders, Lord, those who are working, burning the candle on both ends. Father, I just pray for our church and I pray for our families, Lord, of our church. And Lord, we're just so very thankful that we have a church family that we can hold and pray for and check on and reach out to. And everybody don't have that, so we're thankful. I pray this morning, Lord, that you would use our singers, Lord, use the message. And I pray by the end of today and by tonight when we go to bed, we can say it's been a good day because that you've used us. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
On behalf of Calvary Baptist Church, we want to wish a very, very happy birthday to my precious husband and our pastor.
Just come. of trouble, fear, and pain. It was there I came to know my God enough to stand and say,
even in the valley, God.
This road of life has led you to a valley of defeat. You wonder if the Father has heard your desperate plea. There is hope in that rugged cross where tears of sorrow dwell.
Can't you hear him gently whispering, I'm here? And all is well. Even in the valley, God is good. Even in the valley, he is faithful and true. He carries his children through like he said he would. Even in the valley,
strong drinks. I've never fed with a popular crowd. And I've been told by some around me, this world's fun and I've missed out. I don't spend my time chasing fortune. And I've never walked the halls of fame. I don't have a fancy education to put a title by my name. But I've been to Calvary, and I met the one who gave his life for me. Forgiven, and I've been set free from this world of misery. I've been to Calvary. My Lord is such a sweet companion. He meets with me in my time of prayer.
And when a storm sails my direction, a still small voice tells me he's there. I have joy when they say I shouldn't, and I have peace when it doesn't make sense. I can rest content when I have nothing, and persevere when I lost my strength. But I've been to Calvary, and I met the one who gave his life for me. I'm forgiven and I've been set free from this world of misery. I've been to Calvary. I was a slave to sin, all hope was lost. But thank God I found mercy at the cross. I've been to Calvary, and I met the one who gave his life for me. I'm forgiven and I've been set free from this world of misery. I've been to Calvary, and I met the one who gave his life for me. I'm forgiven and I've been set free world of misery. I've been to Calvary.
Praise the Lord this morning. All of you at home, if you've been to Calvary, say amen. I know I can't hear you, but I trust you said amen. And we have a few amens here in the house. Appreciate it, ladies. And what a blessing and great honor and joy and privilege it is to be able to stand and preach God's word. I tell you, we, in the day and time in which we live, we're literally putting into shoe leather God's word. For example, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. And for the past 2 months, it's been my wife, my daughter, and myself. And so there you have it. And, you know, we, back in March, we had a wonderful jubilee. And I believe every night we had nearly a full house. The testimony of most of the church, if not all the church, was we just had a, Brother Justin, we had a wonderful, wonderful jubilee. Every night, we just wonderful, wonderful jubilee. And the very next Sunday was March the 8th. And that was the last two sermons I preached, having the church here. And that Sunday morning, I preached on the fish and the loaves, and I preached the second half that night on the fish and the loaves. That was March the 8th. And that was the last time that I preached with the church here. And I don't know what God is up to with all of this. I know that it hasn't caught him by surprise. I know he's in control. Not really sure what he's up to, but we just decided that we're going to trust him along the way. And Proverbs chapter number 3, verse number 5 and 6 tells us to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and to lean not into our own understanding, and to acknowledge him in all our ways, and he'll direct our paths. And so that's what we're going to do. But again, it's good to be here this morning, and thank you for watching. We love you, church. Thank you for those who may be watching who are not members of the church. We're going to be in the book of Psalms this morning, Psalm chapter number 34, Psalm 34. And we're going to look at one verse this morning, but I want to give an introduction, a background summarization before I bring the message this morning. And I probably have a large introduction and a tiny message. sometimes it goes that way. I was telling Christy yesterday as we were studying that I just do not know how the Lord lays one verse on my heart and I have 4 pages of notes. It's amazing how the Lord works. Sometimes the Lord gives me 5 or 6 verses and I have notes on an index card. I just don't know how and why he does that, but we're just going to trust him. Book of Psalms, chapter number 34. Let's bow for a word of prayer, and then we're going to introduce the subject matter this morning. Father God, we come one more time in Jesus' name. And Lord, we're thankful that you drew us with cords of love, and we came to Calvary not because we just up and went, but because you convicted us. And we've seen ourselves, Lord, as sheep lost, about to go over the edge, Lord, but by your love, you drew us back and you put us on your shoulder and you carried us, Lord, into the sheepfold. We're thankful for that. And Father, this morning we are so very thankful for your tender mercies, God. We're thankful, Lord, that this morning mercy and grace follows us all the days of our lives. God, there's nothing that I can do that would cause grace to depart. There's nothing I can do to cause mercy to depart this morning. But it just follows me, Lord. Even when I'm bad, grace is after me. Even when I'm bad, mercy is after me this morning, Lord. I'm so very thankful for mercy and grace. I'm just a dumb sheep this morning. He's following the good shepherd. Father, there's so many sheep that's following you in this world. And during this time of pandemic, Lord, help us, Lord, to know your voice and follow you. Father, we're just needy creatures who are out of routine that need you. We love you. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Book of Psalms, chapter number 34. Of course, this is the Psalm of David, like many psalms are. But this particular psalm, we see that David is actually face-to-face with King Abimelech, also known as King Achish. Now, David, if you're looking at your Bible, many Bibles have a description under the particular psalm, Psalm 34. And in my Bible, the King James Version, it says, a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. Now, Abimelech drove David away and he departed. What does that mean? Well, a brief summarization so this will make sense and then we'll read. a particular moment of time was particularly in the life of David. He was on the run from Saul, as much of the time David was. But one particular occasion, David was on the run from Saul, and he ran to the vicinity of Gath, the country of Gath, the place of Gath. And David actually took protection under King Abimelech, a.k.a. King Achish. And this was enemy territory. If you remember, Gath was the place that Goliath was from. Also, it was in Gath where the place that the enemy was from, Goliath, and also Goliath had brothers, and they were from Gath. Also, there was a time where the servants of Achish, where the Hebrews had marched around that vicinity and said, well, Saul had killed his thousands, and David had killed his 10,000s. And so there was a familiarity of David. And so David had took refuge under King Abimelech. And so now that after David was under King Abimelech, he started to be recognized, hiding out in Gath under King Abimelech as a form of protection. And so one day the servants of Achish said, hold on, isn't this David? The one who the Hebrews said, sung the song, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Isn't this David, the one who killed Goliath? And so now David was recognized. And so there was an occasion where David knew he was recognized. And out of nowhere, and as a form of defense, David acted like a madman. And David started to scrabble on the doors of the gate, and he spit upon his beard, and he started to act crazy as a form of protection. And by this, he would be acting like he had lost his mind, and it was a form of defense, you see. And because of this, Abimelech did not approach David. In fact, Abimelech drove David away. And this is kind of the backdrop of Psalm 34. It was when David was running from Saul, and he ran into enemy territory, that of Gath, under the protection of King Abimelech. But after time would have it, the enemy started to recognize who David was, the person who killed Goliath. The song, Saul had killed his thousands, David his 10,000s. David was recognized. He started to act like a madman. And so he was drove out of the country by King Abimelech. And now David went to a cave called Adullam. And in 1 Samuel 22, in verse number 1, gives account of that. And it's believed that in this cave called Adullam is where David has a moment of gratitude. It's where David has a moment of thanksgiving. And so this is the backdrop of Psalm 34. It's a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech. He acted like a madman. He knew he was in enemy territory. Perhaps he could have lost his life. And so Abimelech drove him away. He is in Cave Adullam. He is expressing gratitude toward God. And now he writes this psalm. Notice, if you would, in verse number 1. David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. I want to stop there in verse number 6. And that's reading verse number 1 through 6. Again, most people believe that this is David reflecting over his great escape from King Abimelech when he was hiding in enemy territory running from King Saul or from Saul. He acted like a madman. He ran. He escaped. He's in this cave. He had made it through the night. He had received the mercy of God by this escape. He did not know how he made it, so to speak. I mean, he's now writing and understands it was God's mercy and grace. But it was so fresh in his mind. It was so new to his heart. The experience was so great. God's grace and mercy was so fresh and so new to him that he had to grab a pen and write about the experience. I want to call your attention this morning to verse number 6. Because David actually talks about his deliverance here in one verse. He says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. I want to take that verse this morning and preach a few moments on this subject, David's deliverance. David's deliverance. Again, there was this time where David had a moment where he just didn't know how it was going to work out. Think about it for a moment. He was in enemy territory, and his cover was blown. Everybody knew who he was, and he was in giant land where Goliath was from. He killed their champion. Everybody knew that he was the one who killed more people than Saul did. Word was going around, this is David, this is David. We need to get David. Now, King Abimelech is approaching David. David did not know what he was going to do. So he did what he thought he could do. The only thing he knew to do was to start acting crazy. He started scrabbling on the doorpost. He started spitting. He acted like a wild man and crazy. It was just off the cuff kind of thing. Have you ever done that in life where you was in a situation and your back was against the wall, and maybe it wasn't the best decision you made, but it was something that maybe wasn't the best thing you chose to do, but you had to do something, and yet by the mercy of God and the grace of God, you just didn't know how you was going to make it through. Maybe it wasn't the best decision that you chose to do, but by God's grace and his mercy, he saw you through it. You see, that was the heart of David here. He was praising the Lord. David knew that wasn't the best choice of decisions he made, acting like a wild man. But you see, God allowed him to get through that. And now David is saying in verse number 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Now he's in this cave and he is writing about his deliverance. I want to mention a few things this morning about this deliverance David experienced. Again, this is post-deliverance. He is reflecting on that time. It wasn't during that time. It wasn't before that time. This was after that time. It's kind of like when you and I go through something, and then when it's all over with, we're reflecting back on that time when maybe we decided to do something out of haste, or our back was against the wall and we didn't make the best decision, but it was the only decision we could make at that time. And God showed his good grace toward us. He had mercy on us. And we get down and we pray and we thank God. We say, Lord, thank you. I didn't have many decisions or choices to make, but that was the best one I made at the time. Thank you, Lord, for not allowing me to go the opposite way, or the thing to fall apart. And so David is doing that. He said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. I want to show you a few things, three or four things this morning. Number one, I want you to notice in verse number 6 that David had a certain condition. A certain condition. And when I share these points, this is for anybody this morning who's in a current situation that needs help. David had a certain condition in verse 6. He said, this poor man cried. David was speaking of his condition inwardly. He was speaking of his condition inwardly. He was speaking of his condition spiritually, mentally, and physically. He wasn't talking about his financial condition, but David was speaking of his inward condition. He's giving his testimony here of how he was when he was on the run from Saul, when he was living in the land of Gath, where he slew Goliath. That's where Goliath was from. And now he was living in enemy territory as a fugitive. And his back was against the wall. And God delivered him from that place. And David is now reflecting over that. And David was saying that I had a certain condition. Listen, David was saying, I was a poor man in that position I was in. He said, man, spiritually, I was poor. Mentally, I was fatigued. Physically, I was drained. He said, I was a poor man. He wasn't talking about finances. And so David is alluding to his certain condition. Now, notice what David didn't say. The verse didn't start and say, I cried and the Lord heard me. But you see, David emphasizes this poor man cried. It didn't say, I cried. But no. It's a totally different thing when the scriptures indicate a certain set of circumstances or conditions. It's alluding to a certain inward state of a person. If it said, I cried, that's one thing. But David says, this poor man cried. He's talking about the inward state that he was experiencing. David says, inwardly, I was bankrupt. He says, spiritually, I was drained. Mentally, I was fatigued. Spiritually and physically, I was gone. I was poor. He said, this poor man cried. I want to say that if anybody's watching this morning and you're at a place in your life where you're running from God, or maybe you're at a place in your life where you just need help from God and something is taking place where maybe you need to make some decisions in your life, and maybe you don't have a lot of choices to choose from, I want to say the only time that you can get the help you need is not just crying out to God, but you need to be a poor person crying out to God. The only time you can get true help from God is when you are bankrupt spiritually. I'm talking about mentally when you're fatigued, physically when you're fatigued, spiritually when you're bankrupt. David didn't say, I cried. He said, this poor man cried. You know, in Scripture, there is a common thread of people that truly get helped when it's linked to brokenness and affliction. For example, you don't have to turn there, but you can if you like. In the book of Jonah, chapter number 2 and verse 1. Listen to this. Then Jonah prayed. When? Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Jonah didn't pray when God told him to go to Nineveh. Jonah didn't pray even when he took the boat to Tarshish. Jonah didn't even pray when he was thrown overboard by the mariners. But Jonah prayed when he was in the belly of the fish. You see, it's just something about affliction that teaches us to pray. And David was in great affliction. And let me just say that our country, our world today is in a time of great affliction. And listen, world, don't put off. Somebody said one time, well, I'll just wait till things die down and then I'll, and when this pandemic is over, then I'll start going to church. I'll do business with God. No, 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 no. You do business with God now. You cry out to God now. Right now, where you're at in your living room, now, when this affliction and this pandemic is going on now, when your heart is broken now, you call on God now. Because the truth of the matter is, when things get better, you ain't going to call on God. Because it's just something about when the heart is broken in a million pieces, it's when a person is most likely to call on God. Last Sunday morning, we talked about the components of the sower parable. And there's four different kinds of hearts in that parable. And we're not going to chase the rabbit, get into all those. I don't want to lose my train of thought here. But I will say this. The seed that fell on good ground is the soil that was plowed. And it was pliable. And it was that foundation, that soil was broken up, you see. And what better time to do business with God than now when America's heart is plowed up? Everybody. Listen, it is not the majority of the households in this world been touched. All you have to do is turn on the news and look, and people are in a state of panic. I mean, people are literally stabbing people over toilet paper. If that's not in a state of panic, I don't know what is. People are worrying and people are fretting, and everywhere you go, people are worried, and all kinds of things are going on. It's chaos, and fear is begotten fear. And I want to say this morning that when it comes down to it, the best time to do business with God is when there is affliction. And this world is going through a time of affliction. And the best time to do business with God is during a time of affliction. David said, "This poor man cried." I want to say that David got delivered. David got delivered. Now, he's reflecting on his deliverance. And he's giving God praise. Jonah, when he was in the fish's belly, he said, Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. And so we see, number one, a certain condition. This poor man cried. Number two this morning, when it comes to the deliverance of David, we see not only a certain condition, but number two, we see a cry prayer. A cry prayer. Look at that next word. He says, "This poor man cried." Now, as far as we know, there was zero words in this specific prayer. Stay with me. As far as we know, there were zero words in this specific prayer. It was literally just a cry from a broken heart. Look down at verse number 15. "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry." Look in verse number 17. the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. I know sometimes in Scripture when the word cry is used, it's basically a summarization of many words, but sometimes you just got to take the word cry at face value. Sometimes cry means cry. And when the Bible says this poor man cried, David in this verse is giving his testimony. And I believe that sometimes when the Bible says a person cried, that's about all they knew how to do was just cry. And so we have here a cry prayer. It's not so much in life the quantity of our prayers that reaches the heart of God as it is the quality of our prayers. For an example, remember in Matthew chapter number 14, verse 30, the storm on the Sea of Galilee, and Peter was the only one who wanted to get out of the boat, and he, make a long story short, Lord, that's you, bid me to come on the water, it's me, come on. And he came. Well, he started to sink. His eyes were on the winds, and they were boisterous and all. What did Peter say? Lord, save me. Lord, save me. That was a short prayer. What about in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 1, verse 11? Hannah prayed, but Hannah had no words in her prayer. Her mouth was moving. It was kind of like this. Insomuch, Eli the priest thought she was drunk. Her mouth was moving. Her heart was so heavy because of her husband and the other woman. Her heart was so heavy. Her mouth was moving. But there were no words coming out. You see, it's all about quality, not so much quantity. And sometimes in life, we get so discouraged when it comes time to the prayer closet. We're like, oh, Lord, I got to go and pray, and I ain't got an hour. I ain't got 30 minutes. No. Sometimes it's like, Lord, save me. Lord, just help me today. God, I need your touch. Sometimes it's about quality and not quantity. David says this poor man cried. What about Romans 8:26? Paul speaks of prayer. He talks about that we know not what we ought to pray for. He talks about how the Spirit helpeth our infirmities with groanings which cannot be uttered. And so there's times where we get in our prayer closet. There's times when we pray. And the Spirit of God, He helps us. And so we're praying, and we don't know really what we ought to pray about sometimes. And so he intercedes for us, and he does the job much better than we can. Also, Isaiah says in Isaiah 59, verse number 1, that the Lord in his ear isn't heavy that he cannot hear. The Lord is listening for a quality prayer. Listen, the Lord this morning isn't impressed with, oh, Father God, listen to your humble servant. Oh, Lord, Father God, it's me again today. I'm here, Father. Look at my pretty tie. No. Let me tell you what God's ear, his ear is perked. And sometimes, he's waiting for this. Lord, it's me again, and I failed, and I need your touch. I have to go to work today, and I don't want to. The devil's after me, and I need your help. Save me, help me, Lord. That's the kind of praying he's looking for. His ear is not so heavy, he can't hear us. Listen, when it comes to David's delivery, or his deliverance, he had a cry prayer. Not only that, but it was a certain condition. This poor man, This poor man, certain condition, a cry prayer, and cried. Let me mention something else. There was also a confident action. Bible says, this poor man cried, but then there's a confident action. Notice, and the Lord heard him. Because of David's inward broken condition and heart cry, the Lord was obligated, the Lord obligated himself to respond. Let me say that again. Because of David's inward broken condition and heart cry out to the Lord had obligated himself to respond under those conditions. Look in verse number 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. You see, when we come to God and our heart is broken and we have a contrite spirit, God has obligated himself to respond to us. You see, if you're watching this morning and you are at the end of your ropes and the devil has told you there is no help for you, that is a true lie from hell, because God has already obligated himself to respond to you. Because he says the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. In other words, his hand, Isaiah says his hand is not shortened that it cannot save. This morning you need help from God. The devil says there's no help for you in God. That's a lie. Your heart is broken. His hand's out. He wants to grab you this morning. He has obligated himself to help you. So what's the problem? The problem is you need to reach out and grab his hand. You remember I was talking about Peter a moment ago? Matthew 14, 30. And Peter asked the Lord, if that's you, bid me to come on the water. And so the Lord said, come. He came, but he saw the winds boisterous, started to sink. He said, Lord, save me. And what happened next? Verse 31 happened. And, I love this, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand. What is that? That is an obligation of Jesus himself. Jesus has obligated himself in life. That's something he obligated. He has coveted with himself, binded by his word, that a person who has a contrite spirit and a broken heart, who is poor in spirit, a person who in time of trouble needs him, he has obligated himself. He has a stretched out hand in time of trouble. This morning his hand is not shortened that he cannot save. He wants to reach down and save you. He wants to help you this morning. So what's the problem this morning? Why are there so many people that are not being helped spiritually? Have you ever thought about that? Why are they not more people like David saying, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all their troubles? What's the problem? Why are there not more people saying that? Is the Lord slack concerning his promises? Has the Lord retreated? No. It's always our problem. Because you see, we are fallen creatures. We always have a backup plan. This guy here, I always have a backup plan. I'm always trying to work things out. Okay, God, I'll let you know when I need your help. You know, it's like the story of the husband and the wife. You know, they started out and they got married, and in an old pickup truck, and the husband and the wife, they were riding, you know, side by side in that truck, and then years down the road, you know, she sat over there, and the husband said, how the story went. Well, what happened? We used to sit side by side. And the driver said, well, I didn't move. You did. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of situation with the Lord. The Lord didn't move. We did. The Lord's hand is always reached out. His hand is always available. And when Peter said, Lord, save me, Jesus obligated himself and his hand, the Bible said, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. This past week, somebody messaged me. Nobody at the church, nobody, no active member of Calvary, but somebody messaged me and wanted to talk, and we've talked before, and they need help. But we've talked before, and nothing's happened, and I'll meet, we'll talk again, and I hope something happens, and we'll talk again after that. And I've got another friend that, you know, we've talked and nothing's happened and nobody's perfect, but eventually something's got to stick. I mean, Jesus' hand's right here. He wants to help. If nothing ever changes in life, it's not his fault. Let me mention one more thing. A confident action, and then lastly, we see a caught struggler. Bible says, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him. And here's a caught struggler and saved him out of all his troubles. The Lord delivered David from the enemy, discouragement, darkness, fatigue, and renewed him for the journey. Let me mention this. I failed to mention this just a moment ago. I said concerning a confident action that this poor man cried and the Lord heard him. I mentioned earlier about Jonah that he cried unto the Lord out of the fish's belly, the belly of the whale. But also in Jonah chapter 2, verse 7, Jonah knew that his prayer was heard. Chapter 2, verse 7, Jonah says, my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. Jonah knew that his prayer hit heaven because he called on God in his dilemma. But also notice with me, and we'll bring it to a close. He said, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. We see here a caught struggler. He said he saved him out of all his troubles. The Lord delivered David from the enemy, discouragement, dark fatigue, and renewed him for the journey. I'm not saying this morning that God will change all your circumstances. Sometimes he'll move your mountain. Sometimes he'll give you strength to climb your mountain. But keep in mind, this psalm was written after he was drove away from King Abimelech and he was in the cave of Adullam. But I'll say this, that there are times in life where God bestows peace. He will deliver through our troubles, in our troubles, during our troubles. He'll give peace. Sometimes he moves the mountain. Sometimes he gives grace to climb the mountain. He will give us closeness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Whatever the situation calls for, he says, saved him out of all his troubles. David was a caught struggler. Psalm chapter number 40, verse number 1, notice David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. David said he was down in the mire. God lifted him up and had put him on a solid foundation. David was in a bad way. David was in a bad place, but God rescued him. And so Psalm 34 is David's praise. It's his deliverance. David said, this poor man cried. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. You know, sometimes, I don't know if you do or not, but I remember when I got Christy's engagement ring those years ago, that I was looking at these pearls. And back then, I did a little study on pearls. And come to find out, those pretty pearls you see on that velvet under that glass with all those nice shining lights and all those nice diamonds surrounding it, those pearls came from a dark place. In fact, they divers got to go deep down to the bottom of the ocean and get those pearls. I believe they come from within clams. But they got to go way, way down into to the depths of the sea and get those pearls. And then they're brought up. And then they're opened up. They're cleaned up. And then they're showcased. David says, I'm a pearl now, but I had to be rescued first. And the message is just that this morning, is that God is in the business of rescuing pearls. And maybe you're listening this morning, you're watching, and you need to be rescued. You are a valuable person to God. You just need to be rescued. And we're going to give a verse of invitation by way of media, as we've been doing. And I'm going to pray. And if you need to do business with the Lord, you do that right where you're watching. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. Let it be easy for someone to get saved. Ask you into their life and their heart. Let it be easy for someone to just come back to the cross. They're already saved. They just need to refresh their walk with you. Whatever the case may be, whatever they need to do, let it be easy and meaningful. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You pray.